Welcome back. Welcome myself back. I need to welcome myself back to the podcast. This is the Multi-Channel Seller Podcast. I go by Josh TMS. TMS is the Multi-Channel Seller, and this is the Multi-Channel Seller Podcast. I need to welcome myself back. Took a little break from the podcast. It's been a little over a month, and to be honest, I'm still not ready. Still not ready to be back. But we're gonna get into it. I want to dive deeper into that. So this episode, we're gonna just be talking about just a few updates. What's going on with me? What's happened within the last pretty much what's happened the last month? And I'm also gonna center everything around a particular topic to kind of wrap it up and, you know, bring some value to the listener. You know, that's what it's about, bringing value to the listeners, right? To you guys. Definitely appreciate you guys. And you know, I wanted to drop this episode. I didn't plan on it, but I wanted to because just recently, my numbers, my analytics, if you will, I see you guys listening to the podcast. All of a sudden, when I take a break, a whole bunch of people want to jump on the podcast and listen. And I thought that was very interesting. So I wanted to jump on and just give the people a little something of what they're asking for, if you will. So I don't have a monologue today. No monologue today. So we're kind of a little bit off the cuff. I got a few things we got a few subtopics, if you will, I'm going to hit, but we're kind of going off the cuff a little bit. So no monologue today. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys' businesses are doing well. Hope life is well for you. So since the last podcast, okay, I have been doing quite a few things. And a lot of it, well, okay, so the first thing I did was, put together, I put together a home office finally. I've been working from home, for the past 7 years? six years. 2018 to now. So 5 years. 5 years, and I didn't have a home office. I've been working from home this whole time and I did not have a home office. I finally put together a home office. Got something together. I have a home office, a nice space that, you know, it's been life changing, by the way. It's just been life changing. Just to be just have my own little designated space. Not little, but it's a decent size. I'm doing more things to it. More things are going to be happening. But the main part that I record, it's pretty much done for the most part. So basically, it's a new studio. It's also my workspace. So it's my workspace. It's my recording studio. And it's also my product photography studio at the same time. So the product photography for my business. So it's all of that all in one. And it's amazing. It is amazing. Before that, I mean, I was just doing it wherever I could. And, you know, for those who are new, and if this is the first episode you're listening to, I have a lot of kids. Okay. So I have a lot of kids and, you know, in every couple of years, there's a new one to the bunch. There's a new one to the crew. So, and that just stopped. What was it? Last year, right? Had our last kid last year. No more. There's no more coming. So I've been kind of just doing whatever I can, wherever I can, for the past, 5 years or so. And it's totally life changing. It is. So I got that going, so I had to put that together. It took me a while because, you know, I'm buying this, I'm buying that. This is not working out. I got to return that, you know, this desk and these lights, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so it took me a while. It took me a while to finally get it to where it's operable. Okay. So that's one of the things I've been doing. the other thing, you know, it's a bit more, it's a lot. The other thing I've been doing is basically, getting myself ready to transition from, hobby creator, right? So hobby content creator to real serious full-time creator, not full-time, but real serious creator. I've been doing this podcast for what, 5 years. I've been doing it about 5 years. And it's more so, y'all know my style. I jump on, I get on, and I may, you know, I have an agenda sometimes, but most of the time I didn't. But I get on and I just kind of just let you guys know what's going on. So it was a very anecdotal podcast in regards to my e-commerce business. And a lot of you guys have been, you know, I see my numbers. I see you guys listening in. You guys are listening to a lot of my older episodes, and it brought me back. I'm not even gonna lie, it brought me back, and it brought me back to, you know, these moments in time, and it was very nostalgic, kind of, if you will, even though it was only 5 years ago. But I remember those times. You know, I remember when I recorded those episodes. I remember what I was feeling. I remember what I was doing, what I was thinking. I remember the struggles. I remember the successes. I remember all of it. Man, it felt so good. It was just it was a thrill. You know, it was a thrill in the earlier days. It was a real vibe. I would say it that way. And man, those were good times. But you know, but in regards to the podcast side of what I was doing. It's just, you know, just me getting on, telling, documenting what I was doing. And to this day, I still document what I do. And that's not going to change. That's not going to change so much. I'm still going to be, you know, talking about what I do, because that's what I know. I know what I do. But but where I needed a little more assistance, in the area of assistance in terms of content is, okay, what message am I really trying to communicate? What am I trying to do? Okay. What am I trying to do? What am I trying to, show you guys how to do, and how to put it in a way where I can communicate it and where you guys can repeat what I did. Okay. Repeat what I did. Now, I went down at the time, at least, I went down a unique path in e-commerce. All right. So I went down a unique path, started out selling on Amazon, retail arbitrage. That was great. It was fun. You know, that's one of the, you know, it was fun. You know, you're constantly hunting for new products. You're making money at the same time. You know, you're dealing with the ills of selling on Amazon, and you join the Facebook groups, and you know everybody's doing this and everybody's doing that and talking about this. You got YouTube videos, and then you're learning about what to do next and all that stuff, right? It was a very exciting time during that time, but you know I ran into some of the similar problems that Amazon sellers experience, and then that allowed me to made me transition to the what is called Amazon wholesale, and then that was a whole vibe in and of itself. I got into that. That was great. That was fun. All of it, right? And then still run into some issues, and then I'm like, okay, all right, I'm catching a lot of L's out here, you know. So I need to figure out what to do next. And that eventually led me to selling on other platforms, right? So I got off Amazon and things really started working. As soon as I got off of Amazon, things really started working, okay? And And I've been basically riding my own wave for the past 4 years, right? I put a lot of work in up front those first couple of years. And 2019, things hit, and I've been riding that wave ever since. Okay. The most work, I mean, honestly, the most work I've done in the last 4 years was probably in 2019. That was probably like the most work. And then second to that would be last year. Last year, and it wasn't even a lot, you know, it was just, you know, I talked about it in previous episodes. It wasn't really much. It was just basically adding more products to my catalog. But there's a process to it. It took a while to do. I have my own process how I do it, but you know, research, not necessarily a lot of research, but I'm selling to the same customers I was selling to before. But there's a whole process that I have around that. So it took a while to do. And yeah. But now I am, the reason why I said early, I'm not really ready, right, to really get back to creating more content is because I'm actually doing three things at one time. Right now, I'm doing three things at one time. Three things. So one is, first and foremost, is, you know, my life. Right. You know, so I'm revamping three things at one time. So we just talked about I'm revamping my whole content. I'm basically starting a company. It's a media company. I'm going from hobby to company. All right. So doing that, I'm revamping my life. OK, because my life is chaotic in the sense that there's a lot of moving parts, okay? And it's extremely stressful and so on and so forth. So I'm revamping myself, basically remaking myself and getting crystal clear on who I want to be, who I need to be in order to succeed in my personal life, right? So I'm revamping all of that. And that is, you know, maybe I can get into that someday because it's important. A lot of people are probably experiencing something similar to you know, some of the things I'm experiencing. Not quite, not everybody, you know, very few people have as many kids as I do, but the idea of having to really get serious about what you want to achieve and really putting a lot of stock into becoming the person who you need to become to have the things you want to have. I mean, that's been a process I've been doing for, you know, ever since I was a teenager, but it just never stops. It never stops. So, a lot of, you know, taking a lot of L's in my personal life, okay? And, you know, when you take L's in your personal life, that's feedback saying, okay, you, the shit isn't the way you want it to be. You got to switch it up, okay? So that in and of itself is taking a lot of energy, a lot of time, so on and so forth, okay? So that's first. Second, my business. I'm revamping my business. So right now, I need to revamp my business. Like I said, I've been riding my own wave since 2019. I haven't made any major changes since then is the point that I'm making. And I've had a lot of success, okay? But now things are switching up. Now I'm paying attention a little more to things outside of, you know, outside of my wave, right? Now people are trying to ride my wave. You know what I'm saying? Like I got people who are, you know, copying me. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people copying me, literally. Okay? They're literally, you know, they're bad people. They're bad sellers. They're copying my pictures, my photos, my everything, and trying to, you know, use them for their own benefit, right? So I had to basically, listen, at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about that, okay? Nothing. Now, I try, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'll send a message or two saying, hey, yo, what the fuck? I don't say that, but I'm thinking that, but I'm saying, hey, you know, I do it in a very, nice way, by the way. There's been a few people I had to message like, hey, you know, what are you doing? You know, like, why are you copying this? You know, why are you trying to copy what I've done? Okay. And try to use it for your own benefit. So a lot of copycats are starting to come out in my niche, and you know, and I have some legit competitors coming up behind me that I'm not concerned about, but I'm paying attention to them a lot more. And when I came into my major niche, my main niche that I'm in now, there was basically one person who was like that top person who I competed with directly. And it wasn't a problem though. You know, I didn't do anything immoral or anything like that. They're just doing their thing. I just said, okay, I'm going to do my thing like this. Okay, here's how I'm going to basically attend to the needs of, we have the same customer pool, okay? So, but I'm going to attend to the customers this way while you're attending to the customers that way. Never any issue. We never had any spats, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to one-up each other, right? I found some things that they weren't doing, that how I found some ways how they weren't serving the niche, and I served the niche that way. That was it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't look at them. I don't look at what they're doing. I don't follow them. You know what I'm saying? But I'm paying a lot more attention now. All right. So this episode is called Take the Money and Run. Take the Money and Run. Now, I think you kind of know where I'm going with this, right? So I never thought like, you know, I'm untouchable and all this kind of stuff, like nothing could happen to me and I'm going to be successful all the time. Now, I don't think that way simply because I come from the world of Amazon. I come from the world of Amazon sellers. If you think your stuff is airtight with Amazon, you're a fool. Okay? You're a fool. Okay? So I understand that, you know, success could be short-lived. I understood that. But it just so happened to be when you're an Amazon seller, that short-lived is actually, it could be very, very, very short. You know, so many things could go wrong. And you know, I've talked about many of those things during the podcast, all the L's that I took, you know what I'm saying, selling on Amazon. So the reason why I wanted to title the podcast, Take the Money and Run, is simply because that's what you got to do. You know, one of the things I'm coming into terms, I'm going to get further deeper into that aspect of what I'm talking about, in terms of take the money and run. But I'll just say this real quick, you know, when you start making money, make the money, keep it. Okay, we're gonna get further deeper into that in a little bit. So I'm revamping my business, right? So one of the areas where I lack in product photography, if you were to compare me to others, right? Relatively speaking. Now, my product photography is actually decent. It's decent. It's decent enough. It is bare bones, meaning that when I first started this, but when I finally got a certain groove, I wasn't trying to be extra with it. Okay. I just got, you know, bare bones. Let me back up a little bit. So first of all, I'm in the women's accessories niche. Okay. So product photography, it could be very important, you know. So it's, for me, my understanding was, as time went on, I realized that the best thing that I could possibly do that's different from the, you know, other competitors in my niche was to be comprehensive with my photography, right? So instead of having three or four pictures, like a lot of people in my niche, no, I'm gonna have all the pictures I'm allowed to have on the platform. So at the time, I think eBay at the time was like, it was like eight photos or something like that. And then, you know, when I was selling my car, it was about, I don't know, six photos or five or something like that. But I would max them out. I'll take pictures of so many of all the different possible angles you could think of. So that was my way to differentiate myself first and foremost. So that's what I did. I was bare bones, you know, decent photos, and then second, all the possible angles that I could possibly get and also fit into all the pictures that are allowed on a listing. Now, since then, things have changed. You now can have more photography. I think Etsy is like 10 photos. You can have up to 10 photos. And then Mercari, I think it's like 10 or so. And then Poshmark is like a lot. I don't even know, like 12 or something like that. And also you could add video. So that wasn't there when I first started. You can add video and then there's like more photos. So, you know, I didn't add more photos to my current listings as the platforms changed, but when they started, you know, implementing video, I did start implementing video a little bit, not all of it. So if you go back to my episode not too long ago, not too many episodes ago, I have an episode called 11 low and no cost strategies to boost sales. I talk about all the different ways to boost sales. And that was one of them, was to do, make sure you're optimizing for product photography and also video. That's what platforms like. Okay, that's what platforms like. And I'm just doing more of it. All I'm doing now is more of what I already talked about, what I talked about in that episode. Those are things that I've done already, but I'm just doing more of it. All right, I'm doing more of it. So now, you know, I got a little product photography studio going on. You know, I got a little, and now I'm getting ready to really, I'm going from bare bones to beautiful, okay? Beautiful photography, okay? So, after all this time, I kind of have a intuition, based on my niche, because I've been in my niche. My niche is, but my main niche I've been in for, you know, this whole time. So I got a certain feel. And here's the thing. I started thinking about this more so recently than before. I've been, you know, studying YouTube, you know, because like I said, you know, I'm learning about content, all that kind of stuff. So YouTube, I've been going down a rabbit hole a little bit on YouTube. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, okay, you know, this whole idea about thumbnails, right? Well, you know, people click on thumbnails, people respond to thumbnails. And I was like, wow, that's actually what the product photography is. You know, your product, the first picture, the first image that the customer sees is your thumbnail. So how can I capture that reality better than my competitors, okay? So if I get people to click on me more, right? And then eventually, and then, you know, and also you can't just get people to click on you. You have to actually bring the value. Now, I already have the value. The thing is, like, the value, listen, I already have the value to offer customers. But the thing is, the customer doesn't know that if they don't click on my stuff. Okay. So I'm like, wow, I'm going to put a lot more stock into my product photography. A lot more emphasis on that, and then actually kind of incorporate that thumbnail idea that I've been learning about in YouTube and incorporating that with my product photography and my e-commerce business, okay? So write that shit down, okay? I'm going to charge for that information later, okay? So get it down right now, you know what I'm saying? So that's that. So I'm revamping a lot. In addition to product photography, there are also some other things that I'm going to be doing in my e-commerce business as well, in terms of listings, right? You know, descriptions, titles, tags, and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of new things I'm going to be doing. And the reason why this is important, to me at least, what I've also been doing this past, what, the 15, 20 days, I've been tracking my competitors' sales. So there's about, there's three people that I track, three sellers that I track. Okay. There's two before, there's two below me, and there's one above me in terms of, if you were to say who's top, top salesperson in my niche from one to four, right? So there's one person, I'm number two. There's one person above me, and there's one person, there's two people below me. Now the two people below me, the way I've determined that they're below me is because their reviews. Their reviews are significant enough for me to watch them. They're significant for me to watch them, and the person above me, they're killing me in terms of sales. They're almost double sometimes, not all the time, but I've been tracking my sales and in their sales too, and they're almost double on a lot of days in terms of my sales. And the reason why is they're better. Their product photography is better. They actually don't do anything else better than me. Their thumbnail, if you will, right? Their thumbnail is better than mine's. Okay, so people click on them more. That's it. Now I'm not saying that they don't do anything else good, but everything else I do well or even better. Now here's one thing that I noticed. Here's one thing I would say. And we're going to move on to more so into the topic. I will say this. Here's one more thing I will say about the competitor above me. So they're beating me in terms of sales on most days. Okay. Sometimes double, not all the time. But what I noticed was, and here's the thing, I never watched my competitors before this. 4 years ago, there was no competitors. There was one person above me, and it was just me and that person. The person was number one, I was number two. So just until recently, I finally realized I'm actually number one. I'm number one in terms of operation, business. I'm number one there. Where I'm number one where it matters to the seller. Okay, here's what I mean. I was paying attention to the number one in the niche. I noticed that they work hella hard. They work hard. I every now and then I do, you know, go to their page and look at what they're doing. And I'm like, dang, they work hard. I can tell they work hard. I don't work that hard, and our sales on many, many days are almost identical. And sometimes I'm doing more sales per day than they are. Not by a lot, sometimes by a couple of sales or so. But on most days, where they're, you know, maybe 7-8 sales more than me. Like I said, some days they're double. They do a lot of volume, okay? Now, they have way more products than I do, and I know they work hard. I can see it. I have a quarter of offerings than they do, okay? So that means they have four times more offerings or listings than me. But yet, it's only some days that they're doubling more than me. And most days, they're doing maybe about 50% more in sales than me. Or 30, between 30 and 50% more sales than me. Okay? So, now, here's where, and this is what I did notice this before, but I never really put it in this perspective. I have products that go viral. Okay? They go viral and stay viral. Okay? So a lot of times I sell a lot of the same products. Now, which is a little bit concerning, you know, because it's sometimes most of my sales are just like, you know, I have the 80-20 rule thing going. So 20% of my offerings consist of, you know, 80% of my sales. You know, a lot of times I have that thing going. You know, it may be like 30% or 70%, where 30% of my products account for 70% of my sales, and then 70% of my products account for 30% of my sales. So, you know, that's what happens to me. That's what happens with me. You know, I don't know how many products they have going viral, but if they do have products going viral, that's actually really bad for them because they have four times more offerings than me. Okay. So what that means is when I'm getting ready to do, when I revamp my business, I'm about to kill the game. Okay, about to kill again. You know, that's the hypothesis. That's the theory. That's the hypothesis, is that I'm going to kill again. I am strongly convinced that I will. But hey, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, right? So, you know, I got tomorrow I'm actually going to be starting, you know, doing the photography and all that kind of good stuff. I want to get this done as fast as possible. And, you know, I'm shooting for about 2 weeks to get all the photography done for all my offerings. I'm shooting for 2 weeks. And then once I do that, now here's the kicker. Once I do that, I'm going to be entering new markets. I'm entering new markets and searching for new customers. So I'm going to be selling on other platforms. So there's actually one platform I'm going to test. I'm going to be selling on my own website, or at least having my listings up on my own website. But that's not for the reason of sales. That's not for the purpose of making sales. But I'm going to be going over to another platform. It's an apparel. I think it's, what is it called? It's an apparel platform. Anyways, but I did some research, and there's nobody over there on that platform that's doing what I plan on doing. So I am hoping to basically land on Mars and conquer Mars. Okay. So that's that. All right. So I don't know. I might come back to some of those things I just talked about later, you know, but let's get into the main thing here. So take the money and run. Take it. Take the money and run. It is not going to keep coming. Okay. You can't assume the money is going to keep coming. Now we live in, interesting times. Okay, let's go back in time a little bit, just to 2020. All right, I've been talking about this a lot, and the reason why I've been talking about this a lot is because I think the reason is because it's leading me to the main message or the main the main message I'm trying to get to you guys, okay? And that is, be the multi-channel seller, okay? Be the multi-channel seller. Now, there's an art and a science behind it. That's what I'm trying to put words to. That's what I'm spending all this time. I'm putting a lot of time trying to figure out how to put what I did into words and into a proper plan, and basically teach you guys how to do it. That's pretty much what it is. But we live in the most interesting times, right? It's good and bad, and it depends on a lot of things, you know. Because think about it this way, all right? If we think about economically where we are, we're in interesting times. Politically where we are, interesting times. And socially, okay, where we are, interesting times. Okay, interesting times. But what I realize is we're in both. We're in both the best times and the worst times at the exact same time. Okay, 2020, COVID hit, bad times. But at the same time, it was a great time. What do I mean by that? Let's talk about economically. Economically, very bad time. Stock market went down. Everything went down for about 2 weeks. And then after that, everything started booming again. The stock market started I follow and I know a lot of you guys may not know how to do this, but I follow certain markets. I follow the crypto market. I follow Bitcoin, Ethereum, ADA, and a lot of the altcoins. I follow the S&P 500. I follow the dollar index. I follow all these things, right? And then also there's a few individual companies that I follow. One of them being Etsy. If you look at Etsy, that's the one I know for sure. If you look at Etsy, how the price of their stock. If you look at them before the pandemic and then right after, it looks wild. Like it just shot up, okay? Just like the stock market did, just like crypto did, just like all of, just like everything. Everything shot up so fast, okay? Got stimulus checks, okay? It was bad times. A lot of shortages, couldn't get shit at the grocery store, all this bad stuff, right? Bad stuff. Economically, it was great. It was great. The market never really crashed. It crashed for like a week or two, and then it shot right back up. And then it shot down. And now everybody doesn't have money. Now, 3 years later, nobody has money. You know, personal, the debt, the personal household debt has increased. Obviously, people don't have any more stimulus money. It's all gone. Okay. Now, as a seller, one of the beauties that I experienced was before the pandemic hit, I spent the last 12 months prior to that getting myself off of Amazon and selling on other platforms. And then when the pandemic hit, I had all of my FBA products. I had no more FBA products. I was 100% on eBay and Poshmark and Mercari. And then they were, you know, Amazon FBA. A lot of people were having issues because they were prioritizing. They were prioritizing what products to ship. You had the essential items, right? So a lot of sellers were having issues with making sales because Amazon would basically cut their products off. Because they were focusing on essential items. I said, wow, I got out just in time. Okay. Now, my business never missed a beat. I was like, man, I'm going to, you know, what's getting ready to happen? I was like, man, am I going to be able to pay my rent? Am I going to, you know, I'm just like, what's going on? I don't even know what's going to happen when COVID hit. But look, nothing happened. My sales were going wild. Wild. But all that money is gone. All that money I made, dead, gone. Okay. I didn't take the money. I didn't take it in. I didn't run. I didn't take it and run with it. Okay, I had to put it in the stock market. I had to put it in crypto. I had to put it in, you know what I'm saying? Like I had to put it in because it didn't seem like things were really bad, you know? And prior, prior to that time, I was never a saver to begin with. And it makes sense why I was never a saver to begin with, because, you know, that time, all the way, if you go way back to 2008, 2009, from 2008, 2009, all the way up until 2020, you know, up till almost recently, maybe a year or two ago, you save your money and then you get nothing in interest. You know, I remember I was working at the bank. I used to work at a bank. I worked in banking for quite a bit of time before all of this. So I remember like bank accounts, savings accounts were like, the interest rate were like 0.75% interest or 0.75% APY, annual percentage yield. I remember CDs were like 6 months, you get like 1%. Or like a year, your money into a CD for a year, you'll get 1% APY. So for a long time, and then, you know, I never had money before that. I was coming out of college and all that kind of stuff. I was still, you know, early 20s. I never made any money. So of course I'm not saving anything. Of course I'm not. But all the events from 2020 until now have made me realize a lot of people, including myself, obviously, we didn't take the money. We didn't take it and run with it. Look, it was there. I mean, we were getting stimulus checks. We were getting all kinds of stuff. We were getting sales. Business was booming. Okay? It's all gone. So what did that do to me? What did that do? What did it do to me? Okay, what did it do to me? It made me realize that, okay, on the next run up, I'm not touching. On the next run up, I'm taking the money and running. I'm taking the money and running right now. Okay, so yeah, last year. For me, rather, my business has took a turn. You know, the money was running out. People were running out of money. So, you know, as a result, business is a little bit slower. You know, went from $30,000 a month to $15,000 a month. Yeah, and then I'm, you know, I got it back up. You know, things got back together, but they're not the same though. You know, I have to compete a little more. Got to do a little more to capture those sales. And it makes sense. You know, the economy is different. Interest rates are different. You know, we're in e-commerce, so a lot of our customers are using credit to buy things from us. And, you know, interest rates are getting, you know, increasing and people are more concerned about livelihood and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you right now, all of that is changing. Okay. Yes, we hear about a lot of bad things right now. Economically, we're still talking about economically. Okay. A lot of bad things. Banks going out of business. You know, you got, you know, SVB. And then now you got First Republic Bank. And you got all these banks collapsing and all this. A lot of bad things you hear, right? But I'm starting to see things turning around. Okay. Stock market is starting to creep back up. And here's what I know. And I notice now that just like in 2020, when things were creeping up in the markets, that's good business for us. We're making, generally speaking, we're talking macro, okay? Macro. So that's more opportunity for us to make more money. That money's going to trickle down to us because people are making money in the market. And those who are not making money in the market, they're just feeling more confident about their lives and about their income and about their future, you know? So they get a little loose, spend a little more money. take the money and run. Take it. Take it. Okay? Take the money and run. Okay? They're giving it to you. Take it. Run with it. Don't put it anywhere else. Okay? Now, here's another thing. Now, let's go a little bit more micro. Okay? So that was a little bit macro in terms of the relationship between e-com and econ. Okay? When econ is doing well, e-com is going to do well. Okay? And things are picking back up. I'm starting to see those $1,200, $1,300 sales a day. Seeing a little bit more of that going on now. Now, I'm not making as much money as I did before because I had to just adjust my prices a little bit, had to bring some prices down. You know, people aren't, you know, that optimistic right now. So I can't charge as much as I used to keep the sales going. So, you know, money's coming down, but you know, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. It's the nature of the game. You got to switch it up. Here's another reason why you need to take the money and run. So in your e-commerce business, what are you doing? What are you doing in your e-commerce business? What are you selling? Do you think you can sell it forever? How are you getting your products? Do you think you're gonna get these products the same way forever? How big is your window? When will it close? Here's the issue. Here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you know, forgive me if I'm a little loud. I'm still adjusting to my new microphone. Okay, I haven't done too much testing. But forgive me. I'm gonna try to talk a little lower. But anyways, so here's why this right here circles back to what a more serious content creator, you know, because I want to get the things that are in my head. I want them to be clear and concise and well communicated. Because I have a lot to share that can help people. I know that, but the problem is I'm me. Right? I'm me. I can't really see myself, you know, the way people hear me. I can't hear myself the way you guys hear me. But I'm trying to. You know, I'm trying to. And I'm trying to, you know, basically put the things that are in my head and put them in a way where I can communicate them. Now, here's what I'm saying. So, if I look back to my e-commerce journey. And the whole point of starting a business, you know, you started doing retail arbitrage, you started doing thrifting, you started doing Goodwill bins, what did you start doing? Whatever it is, right? You started the business for a particular reason. Now, you may not know what the exact reason was at the beginning, and the reason it was at the beginning may not be the reason it is later. But basically, you wanted some money, okay? You wanted some money, and then you also maybe enjoyed it at the same time. But, you know, you wanted to make some money. But there's going to come a point, and it's going to come into a point where it's like, okay, how do I build something that is profitable, scalable, and here, hold on. I actually wrote this down. And I forgot it. The three tenets. I wrote this down today. Three tenets. Okay. Let me check my notes real quick. Okay. Here it is. Profitable, scalable, repeatable. Profitable, scalable, repeatable. So that is actually what I've been trying to do this whole time. Now, when I started reselling, or the retail arbitrage, which is also reselling, it just happened to be on Amazon. I needed the money. Like, I needed it. I needed the money badly, which is the worst possible situation to be in, by the way. Whenever you want to start a business, you're in the worst spot ever. You have the least amount of leverage if you need the money. I needed the money. Okay? And y'all, some of you guys know my story. I see some of you guys going back and listen to my old podcast, listen to podcast number 1 and 2 and 3. Yeah, I needed that money. You know what I'm saying? And I needed it badly, okay? And I succeeded enough to where it's like I built something that's profitable, scalable, okay, and repeatable. I make money. I can scale my business up to, like I've said before, I can scale my business up to my personal capacity is 60 sales a day. Okay, 60 sales a day that I have to fulfill. So fulfill by merchant. I know that's an Amazon term, but it actually means it. You're the merchant and you fulfill it, so that it can apply to whatever you're doing. So if you're the person fulfilling it, that's fulfilled by merchant. So I have 60 sales that I can do, me personally. But my business is scalable because I'm in a niche where I'm serving a need. I'm serving a need that new customers keep coming into. There's new customers constantly come into the niche. There's new customers coming into the niche, and that's going to be forever. And okay, so forever is a strong word. But what I'm saying is, it is safe to say that people are going to come into the niche constantly, because the niche that I'm in, it leads itself to referrals, okay? So like I said, I'm in the accessories business. So what happens? So someone likes what you're wearing. They ask you where you got it from, and you are so excited, you tell them you got it from X, okay? Me, or the number of sellers in my niche, okay? They're going to search the niche, and then they're going to pick. There's more demand than there is supply. Now, I don't think of supply the way a lot of people do, okay? Because we're on the internet, okay? Supply is no longer, okay, there's 1,000 goods, and then there's, goods to be sold to customers, and there's 2,000 customers. So that means you're short 1,000. So that means there's a lot of demand. So there's 2,000 customers, only 1,000 goods. There's a lot of demand. But let's say this. Let's say there's 5,000 goods in the market and 2,000 customers. Is there too much supply? The answer is not necessarily. The answer is it could be, but not necessarily. When you're on the internet, if you're one of the suppliers, say if you have 1,000 of the supply, 1,000 of the 5,000, and you're the person who they come in contact with first, then the other 4,000 supply does not matter to you. It doesn't matter to you. Okay. But anyways, neither here nor there. If one of those things are broken, if it's not scalable, if it's not profitable, it's nothing, right? If it's not scalable, then you're back to, if you're profitable but not scalable, you're back to just, finding products all the time, right? So you're back to reselling, okay? And then if it's not repeatable, then you're still back to reselling. You're just profitable or a profitable reseller. How long can you do that for? Okay? If you're only making as much money as you need, what are you going to take and run with? Something's going to happen, is my point. Something's going to happen where the money's not going to flow the way it was before. Something's going to happen. And there's going to be so many different distractions outside of you, right? So let's say you start making a lot of money. But then you want to, you know, at one point I wanted to get a warehouse and I wanted to do all this other shit. And some of it I did do. But you want to spend all this money to try to grow your business or think you're going to increase demand by increasing your capacity. That doesn't work necessarily like that. But there's going to be external factors happening where you're going to blow your money. And all I'm saying is, it's not, whatever you're doing, it's not going to stay the same forever. What I'm doing, it didn't stay the same forever. Although I am still profitable, I am profitable, I'm scalable, and I'm repeatable. However, I just described to you how I'm going to, compete in my niche. Okay. Now, the things that I said I was going to do are not revolutionary. However, it takes time. It does take time, and it takes a lot of effort, and it takes some resources. Okay. Now, let's say you are the only person in the niche. You created the niche. Let's say that. You created the niche. And you have something proprietary that no one else can copy. That means you can come after somebody for copyright infringement or intellectual property lawsuits and all. You could come for people. Okay? And there is nothing else like yours. Nothing. And you're the only person with it. My question to you is, two questions. Is that you? Okay. And then if the answer is no, are you going to look for that? Are you going to try to look for that? Now, the answer is, the answer is, no, you're not, because that is extremely rare. It's extremely rare to do that. That's called, you know, and that may be illegal in some cases. It's called a monopoly. Okay. So all I'm saying to you is, it is extremely rare, if not impossible, to be the creator of the niche and also the only provider in the niche, and you get all of the money. Because all of the customers can only come to you. If that is not the case for you, you need to take the money you're making and run with it. Okay? You gotta run with it. You gotta learn about investing. You gotta learn about not serious investing. I'm just saying basic investing. Dividend stocks. Dividend paying stocks. Stocks. Basic. That's basic. If you do that, guess what? If something happens, a competitor outcompetes you, you know, the niche dies, you know, and there's a number of things bad that can happen. And you wait until then to start saving your money, to start taking the money and running with it, yeah, you're gonna be fucked. Okay, you're gonna be screwed. Now, I got a dose of that. I got a dose of it. We look, a lot of us got a dose of that recently, these past couple of years. Okay, many of us made money, made a ton of money. Where is it? Okay, some of you guys put it away and all that kind of good stuff. I get it. I understand that. But I think you guys understand what I'm saying. Okay, what I'm saying is, sure, there's some people who did do it the right way, but what I'm saying is actually a very big deal. Because if you're, it depends on what age you are too. If you're like me, okay, I know a lot of you are a lot of you listening around my age. I'll be 34 this year. I get a lot of 20s, mid 20s, very, very few under 20, but mid 20s and up to about 40, my listeners. That's what the analytics say. You know, I don't know how true it is, but how we lived in the last 10, 15 years, it dictated how we do business. It dictated it. Now we understand, look, doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what, okay, I'm about to, some of you guys know about this, and I'm about to, maybe offend some of you guys. A lot of people talk about bricks, right? If you know about bricks, you know about bricks. If you don't, I don't really want to get into it. But the whole idea behind bricks is to get away from the dollar and use another currency because, you know, the dollar is having issues. Very true. But here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, after what we experienced, and then for the last 15 years, people calling cash trash, even Ray Dalio, if you know who Ray Dalio is, really big investor, rich guy, but wealth, not rich, super wealthy guy. He wrote the book called Changing World Order. Very, very, very influential book. He has if you go to YouTube, type in Changing World Order. He has a few videos on it. You know, up like 50 million views and all that kind of stuff. People watch that stuff. That guy was saying cash was trash a couple of years ago. Cash is king. Cash is king. Take it. Look, the market is giving it to you. The market is giving it to you right now. Every sale you make, you're getting money from the market right now. Take it and run. Because it won't be there always. It's great we're selling on, you know, these platforms. It's great. But it's not a long-term 20-year solution unless you are up for constantly competing successfully for the next 20 years, 30 years. If the thing is, like, that's nothing wrong with, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying to you is anything can happen between now and 20 years from now. You can make a misstep, even though what you're doing is not difficult to do. You're keeping up with competition. You're getting better at what your craft. In 20 years, you're gonna be really good at what you do. My point is, things happen. That's all I'm saying is things happen. That's it. I'm not saying you won't be successful for 20 years or 30 years. I'm just saying things happen and they're outside of your control. Take the money and run. Here is this a big opportunity to be selling on these platforms. We are in the midst of a huge opportunity. Like, e-commerce is, I was looking at some stats the other day. E-commerce globally accounted for 18% of retail sales. I thought it was way higher than that, but only 18% of retail sales is e-commerce. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that this is only going to get bigger. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. This is we are in prime time. If you look at it, if you step back and look at it, I know I'm talking about the last couple of years. You know, last couple of years were better than the recent years, but long term, this is great. This is going to be amazing. This is, and a lot of people don't see this. A lot of people are jumping into NFTs and crypto and AI. AI is the new thing right now, which is going to do. It's going to AI. All that stuff is going to do what it's going to do. People are going to make money. But if you stay with e-commerce, you will win probably for the next 30 years. You will win. If you just stay in, if you stay in the game. But guess what? Anything can happen. I used to, I was an Amazon seller back in the day. You know, when you're an Amazon seller, the problem that I have a lot of problems with Amazon sellers, by the way. One of them is they think a lot of these Amazon sellers, they think Amazon is the Holy Grail. I think Amazon can be taken out. I think they can be taken out. Now, right now, they're the behemoth. They're the behemoth right now. They're Amazon. Think of the word Amazon. That's a real thing. They're big, huge. Okay, but I think they can be taken out. And when I say taken out, I don't mean taken out entirely. I think there will always be Amazon. But I don't think that they are going to be the thing that everybody cares about. And that's what Amazon sellers have a hard time grasping, the fact that eBay is a serious competitor. They have a hard time grasping that new platforms keep coming up. I proved it. My story proves it. I was extremely skeptical about selling off of Amazon. But what I finally realized just recently is that I proved that customers, there are millions and millions of customers who don't care about one day shipping. How did I prove that? I proved it by not doing one day shipping. It's that simple. Every sale made on Etsy, made on Poshmark, made on Depop, made on Tradesy, made on Kaizen, made on ThreadUp, made on OfferUp, made on Facebook Marketplace, made on your own website, made on every sale made on those platforms is proof that Amazon, one day shipping, not everybody cares about that. You know, one of my number one positive feedbacks is, my number one positive feedback is fast shipping. I ship myself. Now, I do ship priority mail. You get it within 3 days, depending on where you are in the country in relation to me. They're like, oh, my customers, they tell me, oh, fast shipping, I love it. I love your fast shipping. Okay, so when I think about my message, right? The thing is, I don't know how many of you guys are Amazon sellers. I don't know. The analytics that I get, it's not much. I mean, it's Spotify. It used to be Anchor. Now it's Spotify. Anchor has been, Spotify bought Anchor a couple years ago, but now it's just Spotify. Spotify, what is it? Podcasting for Spotify. Analytics are trash, and they were always trash. So eventually, I'm going to go over to YouTube, so I can get better analytics and do more, just more communicating with you guys in general. I don't know how many of you guys are Amazon sellers. I don't know how many of you guys are eBay sellers. I don't know what platforms you guys are selling on. I don't know. Okay, but I'm stepping back and I'm trying to figure out how do I help Amazon sellers, or should I? Because the eBay sellers and the people who sell off of Amazon, they are more prone to get what I'm saying than the Amazon sellers. Not saying that there aren't any Amazon sellers that don't understand this. But to get an Amazon seller to this side of the fence is going to be like pulling teeth. Because it is hard work. It's hard work to not sell on Amazon. Selling Amazon, it's not easy, but you have the whole FBA thing, right? You have the FBA thing and you have the whole existing listing. That's the major difference between Amazon and everybody else is the FBA program and selling on existing listings or having multiple sellers on one listing. Okay. That actually is messing people up. That's actually messing Amazon sellers up. It's messing up their growth as an entrepreneur. Okay? Because when you're not selling on existing listings, what are you doing? You're creating them. And then if you learn how to create them, you actually learn how to sell, if you will, in an e-commerce way, in a product way. You learn how to sell products. Okay? You're like, oh. Okay, these are the type of photos I'm gonna have. This is the type of title I'm gonna get. This is the type, you know, you learn how to optimize your listing to make a sale. Okay, that's basic e-commerce. You don't get that on Amazon. And that was one of the things that I, you know, and like I say all the time, I talk about all these things in previous episodes. But when I was first transitioning from Amazon to off Amazon, I was very angry and frustrated. I mean, if you go back, I'm frustrated, I'm angry because you know, I'm constantly catching L's on Amazon and I'm not learning anything. I'm not learning how to market. I'm not learning how to, I don't have any control. I lack control and I lack ownership. That's what I kept saying back then. Is control and ownership. It was frustrating, extremely, okay? But when I got on this side of the fence, and at that time, there wasn't anybody, there was nobody doing what I was doing in terms of where to learn from. You know, I didn't, not in a comprehensive way, you know? Like, I always talk about these guys, you know, the Peer Hustle Podcast guys. Those were the guys who I was listening to back early 2019, and they were selling on multiple platforms. They weren't doing what I was doing. They were resellers. They were resellers, but they were selling on multiple platforms. And I got inspired, and I was like, okay, well what are these platforms they're talking about? Like, what is Poshmark? What the heck is that? I got on Poshmark, and then I hit it right. And then you know, when I was basically buying products wholesale and selling them on Poshmark. And I was off to the races. Okay. And I got some products on eBay. And then I was doing all of that. And there were so many different connections I was making. And I was extremely skeptical. Even though I was doing it and I was proving myself wrong. I was like, man, this can't be true. I was an Amazon seller, right? This can't be true. This can't be true. I'm making this much money. It can't be. It can't be. I thought Amazon is the thing, right? Nah, man. It's not. It's not. And that's what the opportunity is. The opportunity is selling off of Amazon. But it won't be forever. That's why you gotta take the money and run. Okay? Take the money and run. At some point, everybody's gonna be the multi-channel seller. Okay? At some point. It's gonna be so easy at some point. That everybody's going to be doing. It's going to be standard. That is the vision that I see. The vision that I see in this space is, it is going to be standard to be a multi-channel seller. Okay. When that happens, we're going to be looking at ourselves and saying, okay, how do we further differentiate ourselves? Your money's not going to come in the way it was coming in before until you innovate again. Take the money and run. Take it. The market's giving it to us. With that being said, you guys, that's all I got for now. That's all I got for now. Until next time. Peace.